During these dark times, people are turning to social media to express their grief and emotions. And some of those posts have opened up larger discussions about policing, politics, and gun violence in America. Joining us now is Femi Okeh, the host of The Stream on Al Jazeera English, who also helps us analyze culture and conversations on social media. Hey, Femi.
Hello there, Tanya.
You know, on my social feeds, people are talking about feeling less resilient or having a good cry. A lot of folks are just overwhelmed. I mean, you're seeing this kind of trauma sharing on social media, too.
There are communities in America right now, Tanya, that are living the news. So if they're not directly involved, they can see their family members, their friends, their colleagues reflected in the stories that are being reported. So there's a lot of spontaneous sharing of trauma happening online. Let me give you an example from Facebook. Latoya, who's African-American, has sent her network to her husband's Facebook page, and he's African-American as well. He lists some of the reasons he's been stopped by police. Tanya, are you ready for this? Air freshener hanging from the mirror. License tag frame. The tag frame. No front tag. Leaving a gas station. Entering a car wash. Drinking a soda. Parking next to my house. This list goes on. There are 15 items on this list. But what I've just shared with you, that's an anecdotal story. That's group sharing. Let me give you some current data to back it up. So at the end of 2020, the Pew Research Center that looks at how we consume news surveyed Black and Hispanic and white people and how they use their social feeds to discuss social issues like race. 60% of Black people use their social feeds to do this. 51% of Hispanic people use their social feeds to talk about social issues, but only 37% of white people. So there is a big difference about how people of color will be using their feeds on social.
You know, several journalists shared a clip on Monday of an anchor at WVLT-8 in Knoxville, Tennessee, who was confused about which footage the station was broadcasting because there had been two shootings on the same day.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. It's... I forgot about the other shooting. So this is actually live. This is not our taped footage from Austin East High School earlier. The Knox County Sheriff's Office has got their helicopter back in the air because, again, we do have that other shooting investigation now underway about a mile away from the high school.
Oh, Femi, this just speaks to the enormity of this week, right? With every passing day, there's another story somewhere in America.
Such a good example, Tanya, or a horrible example. Trending this morning, gun control and gun reform, hashtags that are all over social right now. But what I'm also seeing this week is a growing pressure from people on social holding others to account about sharing and resharing a video of people dying or being shown in distress on camera. The best example I saw of this was just a few hours ago. Nelba Marquise Green on Twitter made a very compelling case for not sharing video. She says, when my daughter was murdered, I almost died right with her. But when the world lusted for the video and felt they owned and needed it, that was traumatizing in an equally devastating way. We should not need or consume those videos, especially without family consent. I looked up Nelba, and then I realized that her daughter was Anna Grace. She was killed in the Sandy Hook shooting in 2012, and Sandy Hook is trending also today because of the gun violence we're currently covering in the news.
Oh, you know, I'm so happy you brought up that point because it is hard for us to see, but it's even harder for those family members. You know, I go back and forth between wanting to connect on Twitter to not wanting to go on there, to staying completely away from it because it's too much. What impact is reading and scrolling through so much tragedy really having on us?
Well, this is doom scrolling, and it's just jumping from news story to bad news story to bad news story. And one of the things that's really difficult for us not to do is just to go down that rabbit hole online. And I want to leave you with a timeline cleanser. Psychologists already said this is very bad for us. We shouldn't do it. We should get offline. Yeah. And there's a little piece of advice that I got from a journalist and a writer called Celeste Headlee. And she says, get up. Walk around outside for a few minutes. You know you've been staring at this screen for too long.
Femi, good advice. Thank you as always. Femi Okeh with The Stream in Al Jazeera English.